Welcome to Eliminating the Pitfalls, Steps to Virtualization in Government, sponsored by Nutanix on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm your host, Francis Rose. Today we're going to look at virtualization and ways to avoid issues that agencies have found in virtualizing their environments, cloud adoption, data center consolidation, greening of IT, and telework. I want to introduce you to the panel that we have joining us today. Greg Garcia is Executive Director of the Army's Information Technology Agency. Gary Bartlett is the Chief Information Officer at the Office of the Inspector General at the Postal Service. Thank you for coming in, Gary. Chuck Riddle is the Chief Information Officer at the Government Printing Office. And Dave Gwynn is Vice President of Federal Sales at Nutanix. I want to start at the beginning of this conversation, which is developing the business case. Where you start with that and how you determine, first of all, that it's something you need to do, and second of all, how you're going to go about doing it. Chuck, I want to start with you because you were doing this in the middle of a transformation overall at the Government Printing Office as you're trying to revisit your entire business model, the entire way the organization runs. You're also doing this technology project inside of that. Talk about how you developed that business case within all of that.
Sure. Well, virtualization has a lot of promise to it. And we lined it up to make that decision to move forward with it when it was time to invest in new technology. So we decided to invest in virtualization as a way to really help us stretch our funds that much further, to help us enhance our mobility, being able to do COOP support for our staff, and be able to do more with less, and at the same time shrink, you know, the data center footprint. So the business case for it was not a difficult one to convince the executives to support, because we could really prove that we could do more with less and save money over the long haul by doing it that way. Mm-hmm. So it was good timing, and it was really something that we received a lot of support from top management to do that.
Gary, were you in a situation as you started this process, as Chuck was, where you were kind of refreshing technology and updating technology anyway, and this provided you an opportunity to do that in a different way? Or was this more of a situation at the Inspector General at the Postal Service where this was something that you had to break out of your typical refresh cycle to do?
So actually, from a timing perspective, we switched to virtualization as we were actually transitioning from one facility to another. Mm. Seemed like a very opportune time to do that. There was money available as part of that relocation. So the business case was made at that time, and that's really when we went full sail into converting to a virtualized server environment. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how that transition went, the elements that you looked at, the things that you were considering as you did that.
So the biggest thing that they looked at during that transition was looking at the size of the data center that they were moving from to the size of the data center that they were moving to, looking at the type of infrastructure and support that was going to be needed, and wanted to really build it out to last. It's a long-term lease, so you wanted to build out a data center that was going to last long-term and not have to be refreshed every couple of years. So mm-hmm. those are some of the decisions that were looked at.
Mm-hmm. Greg, tell me about the situation where you are in the Army, and that idea of trying to plan for the future, how you build that into your business case so that you're not sitting here in 5-10 years saying, now we've outgrown capacity, we need to do this all over again.
Yeah, it's an interesting dimension within what ITA does. Is we support the joint community within the Pentagon. So really, it's a community of different coalitions. So actually, I support the SecDef, the Joint Staff, and every service department and agency. So really, it's a matter not only of business case, but one of our focuses was security. As you know, the Defense Department is doing national security across the globe, and that connectivity and persistent threat is one of the main reasons when you look at how to secure an infrastructure, is doing that at a server level or doing that at a desktop level. So that was one of the main things we looked at for deciding to, because we basically have a not very robust server infrastructure, and as these gentlemen face is the point of investment. With a converged VDI infrastructure, we're able to reduce the number of devices, build capacity, but that has challenges that we'll get into further. So for us, it was a matter of looking not only at the business case, the security case, but then how do we position ourselves to provide that service for a disparate group of customers within the building.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I've written down a couple of notes here as these gentlemen have talked about the issues that they worked through. Mobility, COOP, status and capacity of existing data centers, but security, as Greg mentioned, is an integral component of this. Talk about the security needs that you hear agencies talk about across government. Do they vary, and how do they vary if they do?
They certainly vary, but there's consistency in what their objective is. And, you know, it's interesting. That's really the difference between those that are going to the public cloud and those that are going to the private cloud, is that you've got these IA requirements that say, look, I can't go public. I've got too much concern over the security of my data and my applications that it can't go into the public domain, but I want to have cloud characteristics. And so that's what's driving in federal a lot of this private cloud adoption. And so you hear, you know, DICAP, FIPS, you know, STIG compliance, things like that. Across both the civilian and the DoD agencies, there's plenty of different requirements from a security standpoint, all of which can be addressed. And in fact, a lot of the driver behind virtualizing this stuff is to pull data that in previous time has been out at the edge of the network, to pull that into the data center where it's more secure. So if you can, for instance, virtualize desktops, you're pulling what was sitting on a laptop into a secure data center, and that's where it's going to live now, so that if a laptop or an endpoint device is lost, it no longer has data on it that can be, you know, fall into the wrong hands or whatever else.
Chuck, Dave gives me an idea there that virtualization doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to everybody. There are different definitions of that concept throughout government. What was your definition as you developed the business case, and how did it maybe evolve as you went through the actual deployment of your project?
Sure. This is where GPO is really a little bit ahead of its time. We started off with application virtualization. We had a use case with a certain area in GPO where virtualizing their application made a lot of sense because they had a specific function. They didn't need to personalize anything, and they needed to be able to do that from any location. So we started off with that area. It was about 60 users, and that's where we really started our virtualization project. As time went by, that grew in success, and we were able to roll it out to employee kiosks. We have a lot of blue-collar workers that don't have a computer, so we have kiosks throughout the building where they could come and check email and get news about the agency. And then, of course, we started doing server virtualization a few years back. And so there's lots of different flavors to that, but ultimately the endpoint comes down to the things that have been mentioned: security, better manageability. All of those things have definitely been results that we've seen as a result of doing that.
Mm-hmm. What did you look at specifically about security, and where did it fit into the steps that you took to get to the endpoint?
Sure. Well, as was mentioned by Dave, I think, talking about you're taking the data off of the endpoint and you're bringing it into the data center.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing that, you're obviously getting a lot more control, and on the manageability side, you're making it so that you can replicate that anywhere. So security for us was big because we didn't want to have to worry about lost computers out there. Granted, we don't have super top secret data, but the data we have, we do want to make sure it's as secure as it can be, and we want to be able to deliver that on any device.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing it on the virtual side, we can do it that way, any device, and also make sure that it's secure. We've got complete control of that data.
Mm-hmm. Gary, what are some of the security issues that you have at the IG's Office of Postal Service that somebody might not think off the tops of their heads that would be a security issue for you?
So the biggest thing is our investigators.
Mm-hmm.
Doing criminal investigations. We've got medical fraud, so there's medical data involved. We've got, you know, contractual fraud, so there's contractual data involved. And then just, you know, your typical, you know, somebody workers' compensation fraud. So we've got a whole range of information that is very critical for us to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So or kind of opposite of Chuck, since we started heavily in the server side, we're just now getting to the desktop virtualization side.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, we expect to have our first 400 users up in January, by the end of January. And for that purpose of trying to keep that information in-house in the data center, don't worry about if an agent loses a laptop. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about the data that's on that laptop.
Mm-hmm. Greg, the security issues are obvious for you. You're protecting some of the most sensitive data the United States uses for national security. Tell me about the process of building that in at the beginning as you made sure that that was going to be a part of the evolution of the process and not something that you go, oh, yeah, we better make sure we're secure by the end.
Absolutely. And that takes partnerships. As you know, ITA, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marine Corps all depend on our partner in DISA. This is a big provider of our enterprise services. As you know, Ms. Takai, the DoD CIO, has published a memo recently about core data consolidation, where really she's looking to leverage a security paradigm that is less complex but more robust to protect all that data. She produced that memo, and that's a kind of a revolutionary idea. And the DoD is, we've done app virtualization in functional domains. We've done server virtualization. But the ownership and the responsibility issue are the two critical issues that this memo is trying to address, is that the everyone protecting their data in what they think are good, honest ways creates a huge amount of work that is hard to sustain, and it costs significant dollars. So we're looking at what we call a joint regional security stack that is basically, as I see the Pentagon, it's sort of a joint-based Pentagon, and we're the computer network defense provider for that. We serve as a tier two. We have specific responsibilities with our partners in the building that serve as a tier below us. So we work with U.S. Cyber, R Cyber, AF Cyber, and really all the services. But we are kind of a peer in there in some ways, and then a level three in some ways. But that close coordination between those on specific mechanisms and architectures that reduce the complexity, because when you try to cover the entire waterfront, it's very difficult to protect that if you have less points of presence that are more heavily guarded with systematic strategies. That gives it both the efficiency of costing less, but the effectiveness of being more protected. Mm-hmm. So that is playing out as we speak. As you know, the Joint Integrated Information Environment that all the services are partnered with this on doing is addressing that very issue of how to protect that in both that balance of efficiency and effectiveness.
As I talk to agencies about the front ends of all kinds of IT projects, one of the issues that people tell me about when it comes to the business case and developing it is compliance versus mission. How much of the actual document that you produce is focused on compliance with whatever policies apply to whatever you're going to do, and how much of it is fitting what the end goal of the mission of the agency is? Chuck, when you developed your business case, how sensitive did you have to be to both sides? And it may be hard to put a number on it, but how was that? What was that balance like in your case?
Sure. Well, GPO is a legislative branch agency, so we have the benefit, if you will, of not having to comply with every mandate and directive that comes out. So we were really able to focus on the mission side first and also be able to check some of the boxes on the mandate side. So it was a good position for us to be in. It's a best practice that we could choose to adopt rather than being forced to adopt. So from a mission standpoint, it was really predominantly on the mission side versus anything else.
Mm-hmm. Dave, what do you see in that balance, compliance versus mission?
Well, Greg mentioned the word complexity, right? And I think, you know, what we've talked about thus far, we're saying, you know, virtualizing, anyone looks at virtualization, it's very hard to argue against the value of virtualizing, right? You're going to get better efficiency out of the infrastructure that you are using. You're going to enable mobility and people with bring your own device. You know, there are major initiatives in the form of data center consolidation and mobility that virtualization is just a home run for. The challenge is complexity, right? When you're introducing something that's that beneficial, it's a no-brainer to look at the software that helps you virtualize and say, let's do it. But when you look at what it takes to run that, the complexity, the space requirements, the power requirements, the cooling, et cetera, that comes with running that is what needs to be assessed. And that's what's an interesting part of this phase of virtualization. It's statistically the riskiest phase, mm-hmm. because you're in that light bulb mode where it's very easy to cancel. You haven't sunk any cost into it, right? So you're looking at this and saying, all right, this looks like it's beneficial, but the complexity is outweighing the benefit, and so we're going to nix this thing. Mm-hmm. Now, the complexity might be in the form of the bill of materials, the number of vendors that have to be involved, the amount of data center space you're going to have to add, but that's a key word to all of this, as is obviously cost. But this is the time, this is the phase where security plays a key role, but so does the evaluation of what is it truly going to take to run this in terms of CapEx, OpEx, mm-hmm. and complexity.
Yeah. Greg, you're nodding your head in agreement as Dave's talking. Sounds like you had an experience like that
complexity,
as you went through this
complexity,
process.
Complexity. And again, it gets back to those partnerships where it's not only the converged architecture, if that's the way you go, but how does the software ride? How does the profiles get identified? How does the community of interest embrace that decision? Because there's a lot of equities in ownership, especially for within the Pentagon. I don't own every piece of equipment in there, and you have to advance the goals of what virtualization to do through the complexity of ownership and want to manage it for my particular interest is the competing force. For us, when we first implemented our pilot, we did about 200 users. We were the way the network was configured between communities of interest, firewalls, security devices, and transport, we were making 8 hops between the desktop, the in-state, and back to the desktop. And latency was a huge issue. You'd move your mouse and your screen would be, 4 or 5 seconds later. Portization, quality of service is an issue. But just understanding the complexity of that network and where those bits go. So we did a big thing about end-to-end monitoring to measure and document the experience at each one of those hops. And soon we realized you can't make 8 hops efficient. You've got to get rid of some hops. Mm-hmm. So that drives doctrine decisions about security and risk management. And that we ended up reducing over 50% of those hops with the doctrine changes.
Mm-hmm. Gary, your business case balance, mission versus compliance. Tell me about that.
So if I had to put a number on, I'd say probably 60-40 in the favor of mission.
Mm-hmm.
We've got compliance issues, obviously, that have to be met. At the end of the day, meeting the mission is important, and that's what my executives, my peers want to hear, and that's when I go out and sell this to my customers. That's what they want to hear. So I take on the responsibility of ensuring the compliance piece and putting that into the business case, but really when I'm out talking it, they're not interested in the compliance piece. Mm-hmm. They're interested in the mission piece. So that's the part that I hit the most.
Yeah. Dave, the compliance, obviously all three gentlemen talk about the importance of that, but mission is critical. And so it strikes me that as you're working with your customers, they're telling you the same thing. And the concept of understanding that, we go back to what you talked about a moment ago, where that this is the time to really make that decision.
Yeah, and it's interesting because some of the time compliance is the mission, right? When people are saying we need to virtualize, for instance, as Chuck was saying, to get data off of the endpoints and bring it into a safer zone into the data center, well, that's in order to be compliant with security requirements to say, hey, get this stuff out of a danger zone and into a safe zone. And so it is sort of IA in and of itself that is the reason that they're virtualizing. So sometimes virtualization brings up IA concerns. Other times virtualization is used to address IA concerns. Certainly at both the Pentagon and at DISA, we work closely with both of them. And you have to reduce the number of moving parts in the equation is the bottom line, because IA is a paramount concern for obvious reasons, and IA people have a very real job to do, but it can also literally kill nearly every project if you let it. And if there are enough moving parts, there's always going to be some single part that's going to stop the entire mechanism, right? But if you can reduce the number of moving parts and say, all right, let's not have like Greg was saying, the same number of hops and the number of just basic components that are involved in a typical transaction between an end user and wherever his data lives, then you can eliminate the likelihood that IA is going to have to weigh in and shut you down.
That's Dave Gwynn of Nutanix. He's part of our conversation on eliminating the pitfalls, steps to virtualization in government on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.